when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hi there, and welcome to the Stock Club podcast, coming to you from the top floor of my Wall Street HQ here in Dublin, Ireland. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about Apple and Spotify's big bust-up, Levi Strauss coming back to the public markets, and what stocks we'd give some of our favourite celebrities.
Kicking us off this week is a segment that I think we're all used to being at the start of the podcast now. It's nice. It's a few of us chatting through some recent news stories. And James, I believe you are going to lead in this week with a Spotify versus Apple themed story.
Yeah, so what I want to talk about today is the kind of the fight that has developed over the last few weeks between Spotify and Apple. So Spotify has filed a complaint with the European Commission last Wednesday against Apple, saying that they were using unfair business practices against Spotify in the App Store. So essentially what Spotify is saying is that Apple are favouring their own Apple Music player against Spotify's music streaming app.
Big surprise,
yeah. So some of the tactics Spotify are accusing Apple of doing is using its 30% tax on purchases made through the App Store to undercut the Spotify premium pricing. They're also saying that Apple are using other technical limitations against the Spotify app, including locking them out of connected devices like Siri, the HomePod, and Apple Watch. So the kind of crux of Spotify's argument against Apple is that, you know, because Apple own the App Store but also have a competing app, i.e. Apple Music, that they're acting as both the player and the referee to deliberately disadvantage other app developers. It's a very interesting case because, you know, obviously Apple have revolutionized modern technology through the App Store. Like, you know, it's a completely new marketplace. I think about 1 billion people are connected to the App Store, and it's Spotify's main way of surviving, really. You know, we have web players of Spotify, but I think most people consume Spotify through an app. Yeah. And, you know, if you're on iOS, then it's through the App Store. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the gray area that's coming into the fact that, you know, Apple own the App Store, but they also own a direct competitor to Spotify, and the problems that are arising through that.
Did you read Apple's rebuttal to Spotify's publication?
No. Yeah, they said, what I have a quote here, they said that Spotify wants all the benefits of a free app without being free. So they were pretty cutting in hitting back against Spotify, but yeah.
They listed the number of apps that Spotify has released and that they've approved, and also went on to say something about there is a Spotify app on the watch, which Spotify had claimed they made it nigh impossible to get their app on Apple's watch. It was kind of a strongly worded rebuttal, and you know, it's good to read both sides. And
yeah,
I tell you where I was, because I took great interest in it because our business is essentially focused down to two apps. But then when I read Apple's rebuttal, and I kind of thought, well, they're all very valid points, and Apple has created the marketplace in which we can now build a business such as My Wall Street. So, I mean, there's two sides to every story, but I could see it isn't cut and dry as far as I was concerned.
It definitely leads into the kind of the larger conversation, I suppose, that's going on, especially with Elizabeth Warren's recent presidential nominee campaign as well, of antitrust. And, you know, we saw with Google, was it last year, where they were fined by the European Commission as well for promoting their own ads over competitors' ads. And it's kind of like, on one side of the coin, you can say, well, you know, they built the platform, of course they're going to promote themselves. But, you know, Apple built App Store, and then Apple Music obviously came after. So at what point does Apple have to stop protecting its interests in the interest of fairness on the App Store? You know, I don't exactly know where the balance should be struck.
Yes.
Yeah. But on their first point about the 30%, sure, everyone pays that. It's not them being mean to Spotify.
True. I think, I'm not sure what format the Apple rebuttal came in, but if anyone's interested in getting into the detail, there's a website that the URL is timetoplayfair.com, and that was Spotify's method for actually running down through what the problems were. And they go much deeper than the 30% thing, Rory. They actually talk about some tactics that they believe Apple changed mid-review for their application. So for their submission.
Yeah.
So I think it's deeper, and that website, Time to Play Fair, is a good place to see the full rundown. It's a website that Spotify built, and it actually tells the visual story of their history with Apple.
If
but
you Google,
I'll be honest, I haven't seen the rebuttal, so...
Entirely. Actually, I just opened it here. If you Google Apple and addressing Spotify's claims is the name of the blog post from Apple's statement on March 14th, and it was clearly written by a team of lawyers with people who can add a little bit of turn of phrase to humanise it. It left me a little cold, but warmer than I was when I read Spotify piece.
Right, okay. There you have it.
Yep.
Lovely. I am up next, and I do have a news story, but I'm also just going to have a bit of a whinge.
Nice.
So
this
the news
is the
story.
No one else is listening. Go ahead.
This is therapy.
And if any listeners have a whinge, feel free to call in.
We can do Vox Pops. Tell us your news. So Apple has had a kind of week of announcements about new hardware. So they released an iPad Mini, an iPad Air, a new iMac, and a second version of the AirPods. There's something called Apple AirPair rumoured to be released, which people are incredibly excited about. It's kind of a different method for charging. But I want to talk about the AirPods for a few minutes. So the new ones are slightly more expensive if you go for an optional wireless charging case, or the same price as before if you go for the standard case and you get a new H1 chip, which will make them perform much better, 50% more talk or battery time, and a hands-free option to use Siri. So there's new features, right? People out there are whinging about how there's no new colour options, they're still just white and silver. That seems to be the kind of talk on Twitter. But what I would like to whinge about, and to try and find if there's anyone who's facing the same problem, is Em and I bought a pair of iPods recently, and we chatted about how great the experience was, right? The customer experience was the unboxing. You take them out of their package and they just talk to your phone. It's instant.
Yeah.
It's one touch. And they're locked into your device. The connection was seamless. Everything was brilliant. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been getting used to using them. And I'm facing a problem, which is that they cut the inside of my ears.
Oh, well, I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
So, and I jog with mine in now and they don't
cut.
So
I've looked it up. There's two problems that the masses face with AirPods. The first one has never happened to me, is which they don't stay in your ears. That's fine. My ears are obviously snug enough that that's not a problem. But I have read online that a lot of people are facing the issue that I'm facing, which is there's just the smallest amount of friction either in your step or the size of your ear meets the ridge of the plastic in the wrong place. And it creates quite a painful and uncomfortable cut on the inside of my ear. And it happened once and I said, look, that might have just been me breaking them in. But it's happened three times now.
Oh, no.
So I have to let it heal.
Yeah.
And then give it another go. And I'm going to be, you know, persistent and try and get there. But it's not what I was expecting with an Apple experience, you know.
Dad, speaking of Apple experiences, we all use the Apple mouse as an ear. And one of my biggest annoyances with Apple is the fact that when the mouse battery goes low, Bluetooth mouse, you have to turn it over and the charging port is on the bottom of the mouse, which means you can't use the mouse for the entire time.
One of the biggest mysteries of the modern world.
Steve Jobs definitely would have let this happen on his watch.
One of our followers on Twitter yesterday said something about, my mouse has died, now I have to take a day's leave.
I know.
You know, it's Victor, I think it was. But yeah, it is a bit of a design flaw. It's funny because the AirPods, is that what they're called?
AirPods,
sorry,
yeah.
I'm turning into such a granddad. The AirPods I absolutely love the product. It's one of my most favourite products of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the fact that not too long ago I told everyone my favourite product was the Oculus Rift and the Oculus Go. So, well, I'll leave that there. But I just think the AirPods are something I go nowhere without anymore.
I was feeling the same as you. I'm a little hurt, you know, like, and I can see people online saying things like, oh, well, all you need to do is get a band-aid, a plaster, and a hole puncher, and you need to just cut out the perfect, most tiny little circular piece of the band-aid and put it on this part of the AirPod. And I was like, hang on now.
Nah,
I paid,
that's not Apple.
You know, a significant chunk of cash, and that's not Apple.
Yeah.
But Look, I'll give it a few weeks and I'll update everyone again. I'm sure you'll all be on the edge of your seats. But
I don't think you will break them in. I'm sorry to tell you. It's not like a pair of leather
shoes.
Hold
on for a second. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have to break things in.
Yeah. They're hard plastic.
They're not a pair of jeans.
I know. You should have heard my mother when I told her that malleable. This was happening and that my ears were cut. And she was like, well, throw them in the bin.
The only malleable thing is your ear. You cannot actually beat the plastic with your ear.
Yeah. Hold on. Do they come in only one size?
Yes. Standard size.
Because I have a pair from Sennheiser or somewhere like that, and there's like six different attachments can put on them to
unbelievable. Make Sennheiser fill your drawer with these little rubber ear plugs.
But how have Apple, like, obviously they've got it wrong in this case, but surely they must have gotten like the exact size to fit 90% of the world.
Yes, yeah.
So they did, right? And then I suppose what happens is the other buckets of people are people whose ears are large and the AirPods fall out. And I'm probably people who has a neater sized ear and the just. My ear canal, when the AirPod rubs against it and creates friction, cuts it. Because there were a number of Reddit posts. There was a number of posts on Apple's forums. It is out there. It's not just me, but it's a very unique ear.
Return them. To your mum's point, I wouldn't
I
bend them.
To.
Return them.
I might have to.
Get your money back. I don't think that's a reasonable. I'm sure they will. I think Apple are pretty good on things like that.
Okay, well.
And I think they've acknowledged themselves. I mean, our head of development, Alejandro, is such an Apple fanboy. Mm. You know, even he acknowledged that some people mightn't find them comfortable, which was a revelation for Alejandro to say anything other than good things.
I gave him a public apology for laughing at him when he bought them 2 years ago. Alejandro, I take it back.
Rescinded.
It's rescinded, yeah. Well, you never know. If I break them in, I'll update you.
Yeah.
But that's
so
me.
Connection to Siri is not what you were looking for in V2. You're looking for ones with a soft padding.
Please stop cutting my ears off.
Yeah.
And Emmett, do you have a new story this week?
I do. Let's see, what time is it now? It's 2:20 Dublin time. So it's 9:20 in the morning in New York, which means in about 10 minutes time, Levi.
No, it's daylight savings is messed up there.
Oh yeah, it's four. So
20 past 10.
It's 10:20 in New York at the moment. Yeah. So Levi Jeans have, after a 34-year hiatus, relaunched their business onto the stock market. The inventor of blue jeans are back, baby. So Levi, they are as synonymous a brand as known as Coca-Cola and Ford, and as American, you could say, as Coca-Cola and Ford, is a 166-year-old company that first went public before I was born, way back in 1971, but has been private for the last 34 years, as I mentioned. And they IPO'd this morning, an hour or so ago, at about $17 a pop. And how are they doing now?
Started trading yet.
They haven't started trading. Okay, yeah. Well, any moment now, Levi Jeans are going to be available to us, the buying public again.
And this could happen live.
Pardon me?
It could happen live.
It could happen live. It's live. Very exciting. So Levi's is, as I said, a purely quintessential American brand. As American as apple pie, they are owned in large part by the descendants of Levi Strauss himself, a family called the Haas family, who from this particular chapter have taken in about $360 million from the flotation. And really, we had a great debate downstairs earlier when I mentioned that the story about how Levi, from our perceptions, have undergone a brand revival.
Yeah.
And our colleague Alicia, yourself, Maeve, and a few of the other colleagues were saying how suddenly Levi is bang on trend again, and young people are looking for
it's
Levi's.
Back with a bang, yeah.
And there's a Levi store just down the road from us here in Dublin City on Grafton Street. And they have really kind of reignited in the imaginations of young people, which is really what you want to do. And when you look at Levi's revenues last year, they took in about $5.6 billion in 2018, but $4 billion of that $5.6 billion was from men. Male purchases. So they have a great untapped market opportunity in appealing, building rather, designing and selling products appealing to women buyers. And they also, the statement from the CEO was, we believe we have a significant opportunity to deepen our presence in key emerging markets such as China, India, and Brazil to drive long-term growth. So not only does the company hope to improve market share with women, they're also looking to sell more on the internet and in China. So I think it's quite an exciting story to see something that's we've all grown up with, their brand that we've observed our whole lives going live today. And as I've very often said, I haven't historically been the best investor in apparel or fashion.
Yeah.
And pharma is the other one. So I always say avoid fashion and pharma. But I historically have owned shares in Deckers Outdoor, who are the maker of the Yeti Foot, also known as you know, Yeti, this abominable snowman.
Yeah, love him.
I always thought that the UGG boot looked like his feet.
Do you just refer to an UGG as the Yeti Foot and expect everyone to understand?
Well, I was hoping people would remember Deckers Outdoor.
That's
make
brilliant.
The UGG.
And from now on, that's all I'm going to call the Yeti UGG. But I'd never heard of that.
Okay, and then I also had shares in The Gap, New York & Co., currently shareholder on Under Armour.
Do you ever own Crocs?
Crocs? No, I never bought Crocs. There was, on principle, I wouldn't buy shares.
JT loves Crocs.
JT loves Crocs, yeah, but you can't
JT is
fresh.
Our co-founder, listeners.
So it's a day for Levi's, and their ticker is Levi. No surprises there. So hop on in to to Yahoo Finance during the day and see.
I'm interested.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
me too.
So if it's got $5 billion in sales and it thinks it's going to open about $6.5 billion, that does seem cheapish for an apparel maker. Mm-hmm. But like, they're not growing particularly fast.
No,
they're growing
absolutely not.
They grew the top line at 14% last year, but for the average last 5 years, it's been like 4%. It's been pretty anemic.
Yeah, and it's rare to see a 166-year-old company pretty much doing the same thing as they've done for that century and a half, growing in any type of meaningful way. I granted, they might grab a trend, they might break China, they might appeal more to women, they might sell more on the internet, but you kind of would expect those things to happen organically anyway. And we are big advocates in buying what you believe in, owning what you love. And Levi might be a good one, because certainly I don't think any of us would predict or foresee Levi going bust in our lifetimes. That probably won't happen.
Would they be comparable to Tiffany's maybe in that way, that they're such a long-standing brand and they've kind of... It's hard to imagine a world without them, nearly.
Yes and no. I mean, certainly from a brand recognition. And like... Levi's are multi-purchase across your life. Tiffany are the once or twice or very, very special occasion.
Yeah.
The pricing power that Tiffany has is off the charts. Levi's still have it, though. I mean, I think, I don't know how much a pair of Levi's costs.
North of 100.
North of $100.
Yeah, that's only here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this is true. Oh. Yeah.
With the luxury tax on
Vintage Levi's as well are very popular.
Can I
read a line from the rest one?
Please.
The Levi's brand epitomises classic, authentic American style and effortless cool.
Oh.
It does, though. I have to say, that is the power of the brand. I mean, the red tag on the back of the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I remember their advertisements really stood out for me when I was a teenager. I think there was one of a girl walking into a saloon.
Yeah.
You know, they are cool. They are effortlessly cool.
They have kind of changed with the times as well. Like, do you remember the old Wranglers? The old dad pants. They haven't got those going on anymore.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Wranglers are still out there. I think they haven't totally gone under, have they?
It's not. I don't think it's their main seller anymore.
No, I wouldn't think so.
501s.
Yeah. But by the way, button flies are ridiculous. Like, who thought? I mean, they just... They're ridiculous.
Maybe it's time to move on. Is that a nice segue
into the next segment? Okay, great. So next up, we're going to discuss a company that we never talk about. And Rory, I believe you have one up.
I do, and I haven't told you what it is.
Great.
I'm going to see if you can guess what it is.
Okay.
It's a company that we never talk about, that's so bizarre that we don't talk about, because it is currently, or last time I checked it was anyway, the biggest company in the world.
Microsoft.
Yes!
Boom.
Microsoft.
Drops the mic.
Did anyone else not notice that? Hey, like, we never talk about Microsoft.
We never talk about Microsoft.
No. Okay, and so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking there's a couple of reasons why we probably never talk about Microsoft. One is that they managed to keep their noses a lot cleaner than the other big tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't got a Facebook or a Twitter or a YouTube thing going on. And I've never heard of anyone putting extremist content on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So they don't get in the news as much. Their CEO isn't going around strong-arming government officials and having mistresses, as far as you know. Finally, I think people still think of Microsoft as like really old tech dinosaur that isn't worth kind of mentioning in the modern tech conversation,
which is
just totally not true if you look at what they've been doing over the last few years. So like Satya Nadella, he took over from Steve Ballmer in 2014. He's basically completely reinvented Microsoft and is now kind of a leader in cloud computing and a real fast-moving tech giant. They've moved totally from a license model to a subscription model. They own about 16.5% of cloud computing through Azure, which is estimated to be worth around $7 billion by itself right now, and last year grew at 92%.
Oh my goodness.
And the reason I think they're going to do really well in the world of cloud is because basically they already have this massive base of installed users through Office 365, which is the biggest, it's basically a monopoly on productivity software. So they have about 90% market share in Office productivity software. And so if you're a CIO or a CTO and you're thinking about switching to the cloud and your entire business runs on Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, it's so simple just to move over into Azure. It's all integrated, it all works perfectly well. And you already have that relationship with them to begin with. And as someone who uses Excel every single day, there is no alternative. There's no other. There's nothing else that works like it. So Microsoft, I think, is this incredible business, like, amazing moats in terms of switching costs, in terms of network effects, in terms of cost advantages. They pay a 1.6% dividend. They've been raising it consecutively for 15 years. And the stock's pretty much tripled since Nadella took over. So I think we should talk about Microsoft more.
Yeah, it's a good pitch. And I think of the first time I encountered a computer long before Google and Facebook and all the rest in college, the first thing I had to do was open a Microsoft product. And here we are, whatever, 30 years later. And that's still one of their suite of products I use every day. And that's longevity of, for a digital company to have built a suite of tools that most of us have to interact with as part of our professions is pretty impressive. I mean, it's astounding, really.
Yeah.
I'm just scanning the analysis in the My Wall Street app on them, and something I didn't know is that they also produce software for some of the bigger game consoles.
Yeah, they do. Well, they own Xbox.
They own it, right?
Yeah.
So that's their console. Hasn't really won in the console wars against PlayStation, but the rise of PC gaming has definitely been good for Microsoft. And there's just been the story about Google getting into the video game streaming.
Stadia.
Stadia is their new arm.
Right.
I think there's going to be a big fight between Microsoft, Amazon and Google to get into that space, become the Netflix of video gaming. I think Microsoft are well positioned.
Okay.
We four and all of our colleagues were kindly invited by Microsoft, as you'll know, to their headquarters here in Dublin, which is as big as their HQ in California, as far as I know. And it's an astounding building. They had everything you could possibly think of under the roof. They had a digital lake. They had a dog grooming salon. Is that correct?
Oh, I am, and I hope they did. Because if they did, I'm going back.
They had, and certainly, I saw someone with a scissor. Maybe it was for humans, but...
The head of catering, this was my favourite fact about it, the head of catering, because there's no, like, elevators, you have to walk everywhere, and it's all, like, be fit and walk around.
Yes, that's right.
The head of catering walks 30 kilometres every day.
Wow.
Out there in the Dublin office.
Yeah.
It was very impressive, and even the design values that they have.
Didn't they have a beautiful yoga studio where you overlooked the office floor?
That's right, yeah. It was amazing. I've also been at Apple HQ, now not Infinite Loop, is that the Californian? Not Infinite Loop, but the Irish HQ of Apple, and certainly Microsoft's one on design values and coolness, I have to say.
So they're winning in the office wars. So before we move on, then I just want to take a minute to talk about some of the new things in the My Wall Street app at the minute. On Wednesday, Rory, you published our most recent expert opinion piece called...
Three Stocks We Passed On.
Do you want to give us a quick summary of...
I think that kind of sums it up. No, I didn't. it was a user request. Emmett, you tweeted out a couple of stocks that we'd had on the watch list. We're thinking about adding to the app, and we decided not to.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was cherry-picked as the three that had gone down the most, essentially, over the last year. And so the a Twitter user asked if we could get an insight into why we didn't pick them at the time.
It was Harish, was it?
Harish, yeah. Asked. I just wrote a blog about it.
It was Edit House, Camping World Holdings, and Stamps.com.
Stamps.com.
So you can read about now in the My Wall Street app why we passed on those stocks specifically. In case you missed it, we also have a new Star stock in the app at the minute. It's a really cool company that counts 90% of Fortune 100 and over 70% of the Fortune 500 companies as customers. So it's definitely keeping good company. Speaking of Star stocks, we have a new item in this week's podcast that I'm not sure how it's going to go. It's called Star stocks. So I asked you all before we came in to pick a well-known celebrity. Emmett, your faces.
Oh, yes. Okay,
see,
I'll go last.
I forgot about this, so I knew you forgot about it.
It's okay.
Okay, we'll you can finish the point and I'm going to get busy.
We'll see how you go on the fly. So right. Stars Stocks is I asked you all to pick a celebrity and a publicly listed company and match them together and explain why they make a good match. Evan, Rory, I'll give you a second to gather your thoughts. Maeve.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a very small pop quiz. Can anyone tell me the man whose real name is André Rommel Young's stage name?
No.
André Rommel Young.
Is it spell Young?
Y-O-U-N-G.
That's okay, I was wondering if it was an Asian yeah. Young. So.
He's a professional rapper, record producer and entrepreneur.
No, no idea.
Jay-Z.
Dr. Dre.
Oh!
So
Andre,
I'm going with Dre. He's my celeb.
Yeah.
And I was recently scanning a company that we added to our showroom, and also we produced a short report recently on the cannabis industry. So I'm pitching to Dre that he might want to pop into our app and have a look at Constellation Brands,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or possibly do some wider research outside our app and look at MedMen or Innovative Industrial Properties Inc.
Also Apple, because they own Beats.
Yeah, well,
that's the obvious one, I suppose.
He made $3 billion off that, like, so...
maybe yeah. diversify.
He might want to go back in and buy into Apple, yeah.
The celebrity I picked was Elizabeth Holmes, who's in the news again, the former CEO of Theranos. And the stock I matched her with was Helios and Matheson. So for anyone who doesn't know Helios and Matheson... They were the owners of the infamous MoviePass company. And I think, you know, they both promised a lot. They both had people asking how they were doing what they're doing. And they both didn't deliver.
They still have a ginormous billboard on Times Square.
Who do?
MoviePass.
Really?
Yeah. I actually was a little confused. Did you see that?
I did see that.
They're spinning it off as a separate company, Helios and Matheson. Or they're in the process of doing so at the minute. Yeah, but kind of two people at a low ebb at the minute.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
Rory?
Yeah, so admittedly, I did forget about this until right before we came in, and I just had to ask people downstairs to throw celebrities at me so I could, because I actually had a blank. I couldn't think of any celebrities. And someone threw out Daniel Craig, and I instantly went to Brian Foreman, but actually, he wouldn't drink American whiskey, James Bond. He'd drink scotch or gin martinis, so I think the stock for him would have to be Diageo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shake him upstairs.
Emmett?
I don't know. SpaceX for Elton John.
SpaceX isn't a public company.
Ah, it's fine. Tesla.
They said a Tesla.
I know it's not a public company.
Oh, yeah, there's Tesla in space.
But you want to know why I'm going with SpaceX for Elton John?
Go for it.
There's a new movie about his life being made, hot off the heels of Bohemian Rhapsody, about Freddie Mercury's life, and that movie's name is Rocket Man.
Original.
So that was Stars Stocks. You may or may not see that, ever hear that again. But, let us know what celebrity you'd match up with.
Let us know when you switched off.
what celebrity you'd match up with a stock. Jargon Busters, you might be glad to hear, is going to make a return next week. So if you have any questions about investing or any jargon you want busted, make sure to shoot us an email at pod@mywallstreet.com. We're running way over time today, so really quickly I want to get to the elevator pitches before we finish up. So to celebrate Levi Strauss returning to the public market today, I asked you guys to prepare a pitch for us about a company that's bucking recent trends in the retail environment. So that means, you know, a company that's maybe growing their in-store traffic as opposed to online, or really just going against the grain in a tough retail environment at the minute. Rory, we'll come to you first. What company are you going to pitch us?
I'll pitch for our one remaining listener, Ulta Beauty, which is
60 seconds. Don't forget,
60 seconds. Right, Ulta Beauty, which has long been one of my favourite retail plays. Ulta Beauty runs about 1,170 so stores in the US that combines salons with a beauty store for makeup and cosmetics. In what has been described as a tough retail environment, last quarter they put in comparable same-store sales of 9.4%. The reason I like Ulta Beauty and the reason I think they're doing so well is because makeup's one of those things that people want to go to the store, experience, try out. And I just want to quote from their recent earnings call, which the CEO was saying basically they hadn't done as well in online as they thought they were going to do. And this is what you said. Our e-commerce growth rate was a bit softer than our guidance of mid-30s, which is attributed primarily to reverse channel shift in light of our guests' avid interest in coming to the store to see and try makeup from digitally native brands like Morph and Kylie Cosmetics. So actually, people were, instead of going online, were actually coming into the store to try out the goods. They've got a deal with a lot of the Kardashians. They have 32 million people on the rewards program. That's twice as many as Starbucks. And they are leading in personalization in terms of keeping people loyal to their brand.
Cool. So that was Ulta Beauty.
How many seconds was that?
It was 61.
61 seconds, for God's sake, Rory.
you could set a clock by me.
Time is money, Rory.
I'm going to hold up the timer for you, Emmett.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Go.
I'm going to go with Duluth, the maker of men and women's workwear. And Duluth very recently reported 27% revenue growth, which was driven by 10% increase in direct sales and 58% growth in retail. So what's interesting about Duluth is that they now have 43 stores compared to about 26 stores last year. So that's not too many stores. They're bucking their trend, the stock is on its way up. They do kind of niche, as you'd say in America, workwear, or clothing wear rather. And I think they're growing rapidly off the back of new store openings, which is a false god. As they say, you don't want to buy a business simply because it's opening new stores. Comps are what really matter, comparable same store growth. But for now, Duluth seems to be positioned to grow its brand very nicely, book the retail trend, and continue to fill the cash registers for the years ahead.
57 seconds.
Now.
Under.
Bam.
Right.
You know, over is bust.
I think on like overall, if we were to add up all our times, I still have minutes on you.
My CES one wasn't my defining moment for timekeeping, but still.
Maeve, which company are you going to go with?
I own Duluth. Okay. And I bought it when I was a kind of less mature investor. I think my reasons were that I liked the gear, the clothing. And in their marketing, they use cute North American creatures. I think there's moose and beavers and stuff, which mm-hmm. suits the brand. So that wasn't the best decision making that I've ever chosen.
It wasn't the worst. It's a good thing.
There
good
was
business.
A few other things within it as well. Obviously, you know, we have them in my Wall Street app. So I read the analysis and did some other research. But I'm going to go with Duluth and cross my fingers and see what happens.
Great.
I'm going to go with Ulta. Because I just think, yeah, having that those in-store salons is a major point, and it's one of those kind of like DIY, it's one of those niches within the retail industry that people just have to kind of go in store to take full advantage.
It can never go online.
No.
Never, ever, ever. You need to get your hair cut or styled. It cannot
so
go online.
We have a tiebreaker. Giles, swing a hammer if you like Duluth Holdings and put on some makeup if you like Ulta. Can't hear you, Giles. Makeup, yes!
Giles has picked Ulta, so Ulta is the winner of the elevator pitch this week. That's about it from this week's Stock Club. And remember, if you have anything you want us to discuss or some jargon for us to bust on next week's podcast, make sure to get it in touch on Twitter or email us at pod@mywallstreet.com. That's pod@mywallstreet.com. Thanks for listening again today. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a good review on whatever podcast player you use. It really helps us out. Make sure to tell a friend about Stock Club too. And from all of us here at My Wall Street, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Happy investing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.